this edition of X's and Omar. You don't have Omar. You got Chris Perkins and Dave Hyde. How about this, Dave? I mean, Omar is out lounging on the West Coast, and we have to come in here and work?
What about X's and Nomar?
Exactly. We got to come up with a new name for this thing. Dave, look, the Dolphins, one of the NFL's hottest teams, right? The four-game win streak, last week's victory over San Diego, 31-24. Defense. Four fourth-quarter interceptions, including Kiko Alonso's 60-yarder to clinch the game. Their first four-game win streak, Dave, since 2008. You know what that year means to Dolphins fans. Do we talk playoffs?
Why not? Isn't that part of the fun of being a sports fan?
Right.
For the first time in years, you can actually, in the middle of the season, say, you know what, there's a shot at the playoffs. Why is that an exclusionary topic? If Adam Gase doesn't want his players to talk, but that's one thing. Your fans, yeah. Talk about the playoffs.
Yeah.
Your five wins, you're two games back in the playoff chase.
Right.
So you need to stay this hot probably to the end, but sure, knock yourself out.
Yeah, and you know what? I thought it was a sign of progress last year when Joe Philbin finally mentioned, we want to win a championship. And Ryan said, stop, Dave, stop. You can mention championship also. It's your goal. It's your ultimate goal. The playoffs are your goal. That's the first step in the process. I don't see a problem with mentioning we want to get to the playoffs, and ultimately, we want to win championships. Is that bad voodoo?
Let's talk about why it was so strange with Joe Philbin.
Yeah.
It was so out of personality for
him,
right? I mean, he never said anything, and then all of a sudden, before the season, he's talking about a championship. Where did that come from?
It was like when he went to see Straight Outta Compton.
It just wasn't genuine.
It wasn't Joe Philbin.
I would have thought Adam Gase, it isn't his personality to just direct any topic. But he has said, you know, yesterday in Carlsbad at their five-star resort, he said that, he's never talked playoffs. He's never thought of them. He thinks resetting the clock on every Wednesday. Yeah. And so, you know, that's his personality. That's what he's got to stick with.
Yeah, 0-0. He sticks to that. 0-0 every week, and we want to be 1-0 at the end of the week.
That's coach talk. But fans, I agree. But for fans and media,
go crazy.
You know, I don't understand why it shouldn't be part of the fun, especially.
Superstition, bad luck. You're going to hex it.
For 10 years, the Dolphins have had bad luck because of fans talking about topics.
Dave, what, 2013, right? They just need to beat the Jets or Buffalo.
And people,
you got your hopes up.
So,
those fans. All right, Dave, let's go to some Twitter questions here. This one comes from Tristram. How long does this win streak have to go before Adam Gase starts getting Coach of the Year buzz?
I think he just got some.
from Tristram.
Yeah, let's put this bit in context. The Cowboys have won 8 in a row.
Yeah.
All right. The Chiefs have won 5 in a row.
Right.
The Giants have won 4 in a row.
Right.
So, okay, you want to put Adam Gase in the mix, that's fine. There's a lot of football left to play. And besides, who was the coach of the year last year? Ron Rivera,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So
14-0 start.
Yeah,
7-8-1 last year.
And they're 3-6 this year.
Yeah.
So, Adam Gase, to me, has changed everything on this team.
Right.
The conversation, the culture, and mostly what he's getting out of players.
Right.
Okay, you're discovering players are pretty good. Like Damian Williams, no touchdowns for 2 years. He's got 3 this year because he's been used differently.
Yeah.
So, if you want to say Adam Gase is having a great coach in the year, I'm not arguing with you. Coach of the year, let's let it play out.
And you know what? What was the number last year of first-year coaches who took their teams to the playoffs? I can't remember what it was, but it was a pretty impressive number. So, you know, Adam Gase is kind of falling into that also, which, you know, is not a long trend, admittedly. But, you know, it's been done. So you can't jump the gun too much and say, you know, coach of the year. He's still got to get this team to the playoffs, to me, to get Coach of the Year. 9-7 would be great.
And nationally.
Yeah.
Locally, you can see the things Adam Gase is doing, benching players, cutting players, changing the idea and philosophy of the team. You can see that locally. But for nationally, for them to see it, it's going to have to take a playoff.
Playoffs, definitely. This one comes from, Lord Ruz? Lord Ruz? What are some of the things Adam Gase needs to improve on?
Personally, as a coach, well, first of all, the one thing he needs, because he is so offensive-minded, you know, and this is no great surprise when you hire an offensive coordinator who's never been with the defense, is all he talks about is offense and all he knows. And when you talk about, it's almost like in the media, we don't really ask him any questions about the defense anymore because, you know, you're going to wait to talk to Vance Joseph about that. Because now, the question is, does he really need to work on that, or is that smart of him to know this is who I am? I'm not going to try to be. I would think, though, 10 years from now, he'll have a more of a grasp on the defense and understanding what's wrong with it and all that.
I think so. I think it's smart of him right now to let Vance Joseph take care of things. And we've seen all this tinkering coming to, well, it's equaled something. We don't know exactly what. The run defense in the last six quarters has been much improved. The pass defense, you've gotten, six interceptions in the last six quarters, four yesterday. But the tinkering, Dave, when you take guys such as Mario Williams and Julius Wormsley and Terrence Fidey out, and you put in Leon Orr, and you give more playing time to Cam Wake and Andre Branch, the linebacker tinkering that's been forced with injuries to Jelani Jenkins and Koa Misi, but Donald Butler and Neville Hewitt are now in there in the base package. In the secondary, they had all these cornerbacks amassed, right? Chris Culliver and Benay Benwickery and all of these guys, but it's kind of
Can
been
any
the
of them play?
That's well, Benay Benwickery, they released him, yeah, Culliver, yeah. And it's been the same guys. So credit the coaches for knowing that we can count on Bobby McCain and Byron Maxwell and Tony Lippett. Now, that was kind of out of desperation. Xavien Howard should be in there, but at least they've seemed to figure some things out. I'll give Vance Joseph and the coaches credit for that. I don't know yet what they need to improve on.
You know, I'll give Vance Joseph a lot of credit because I don't know how he's doing it with this personnel.
Yeah.
I really don't. You know, he's got a good defensive line, couple stars on that. But you mentioned the secondary. How Phillip Rivers threw four interceptions in the fourth quarter. He had seven all year. He throws four in the fourth quarter. Here's a guy who ranks eighth all-time in touchdown passes in NFL history. Yep. He must be had nightmares of that ending because
I know.
He was throwing them to –
directly to
– guys who aren't having very good years had a very good fourth quarter.
Yeah, and look, the interception to Lippett, taking nothing away from the Dolphins, the interception to Lippett in double coverage in the end zone, the last one to Kiko, it's un-Phillip Rivers-like. However, what I like about the Dolphins' defense and what I thought they had to do is be a big play defense. Like, you aren't going to be able to stop teams from rushing for 100 yards, but cause a fumble or get an interception on a third and long. We see Cam Wake with, six sacks in the last four games. Andre Branch and Dominican Sue pressuring the quarterback. They've allowed two 100-yard rushing games in these last four. But they've produced turnovers. You know, they've been able to make plays. So it helps offset it. You're probably not going to be a good defense, Dave, but you can be a playmaking defense.
Well, I don't know who they have in the second. They had guys in the secondary. And I shouldn't say this after they had four interceptions in a quarter, but I really don't trust that secondary.
No, it's a no-name secondary. This one is from Chuck S. At Lumpster 19. You guys have been saying the culture is changing. What was the tipping point?
Well, the tipping point had to be when they're, 1-3, and Adam Gase starts making changes.
Yes, yes.
You know, actually, it was before the season, before the first game. He leaves Jay Ajayi at home. That sends a statement. Yep. You're going to sulk. You're not going to practice hard. You're not going to take things seriously. There are standards here. And that got people's attention. Then when you bench Mario Williams, a guy you just spent $8 million on. He was a former number one pick. He's been in the league. You know, there's a guy with pedigree, but you're saying he's not good enough. You're not doing what we want. That gets people's attention. You start cutting offensive linemen.
Right. Draft picks.
That you want to say, and to me, Adam Gase gets all the credit for doing things veteran coaches refuse to do.
Right.
Even though, you know, looking back, they say maybe I should have done this to this player or this. He did them in the middle of a season, in the middle of a losing streak.
Right.
He could have lost the team right there when he's cutting players and benching veterans. Instead, it brought everybody together.
Yeah, I agree. That to me was kind of that line where you said, this is something different here. And the players, you know, they seem to be responding to it. Nobody is really complaining about Adam Gase and his methods. Now, a four-game win streak makes everything more palatable. But hey, I agree. I give credit to Adam Gase. You chopped those players. You benched Mario Williams. You made Byron Maxwell. He made the necessary changes, and whether that led directly to victories, it got the players' attention.
Do you think those players who were benched were happy with Adam Gase? Like a Jay Ajayi.
No.
We were in the locker room with Jay Ajayi when he got, you know, the week after when he talked right. about being, he was not happy about
no,
being benched.
No, he was not. And you know what? And I think because all he gave us was, I just want to help the team win. One of my theories is he didn't agree with the benching at the time. He didn't agree with the benching when he was talking to us. And he didn't agree with being left home, and he didn't want to speak about it. So he just said, I'm going to stick to this.
And you talked to the coaches, and he had an uptick in paying attention in meetings and practice intensity and everything. And, you know, you think of discoveries of the season. Jay Ajayi is a discovery.
Man, incredible, incredible. All right, Dave, well, let's move on here. We're going to talk about some defense here, the Dolphins' defense. Now, they've had their struggles this season. They entered the San Diego game 30th against the run, 136.1 yards per game. But they continue to produce on third downs, right? 3 weeks ago, they were number one in third down efficiency. They're down to number two right now. But that's improvement. The secondary, look, they're 10th when it comes to opposing passer rating, 86.3. We saw the interceptions last week. To who or what do you credit that defensive improvement?
Well, you mentioned Vance Joseph, to me, gets number one credit. And beyond that, Cam Wake at 34 is having a great season. At a time in his career when even the coaching staff doubted he could play like this at this much. Remember, he was very limited
right.
in his snaps at the start of the year,
right.
and they realized we need to get him on the field more. Ndamukong Suh's having an incredible year.
Yes.
People say, well, is he worth that money or not? All I know, he's the most impactful player. He's getting double teamed every
right.
time. That frees up Wake on one side, Andre Branch on the other
yep.
to make plays. What they do really well, and it's interesting to watch. They know what they can do well.
Right.
Okay. They know, look, we can get to the quarterback quickly. We don't have great cover guys in the back. And you look at how Kiko Alonso made that interception to win the game in San Diego. They had a defense called where they know they're going to get quick pressure on the quarterback. And at the last second, Alonso moved. He shifted. And Ryan Tannehill is actually watching on the sideline, and he thinks to himself, I hope Phillip Rivers didn't see him shift.
Right.
And he shifted right into where it turns out Phillip Rivers wanted to throw. And because he had such quick pressure on him, Phillip Rivers had to get rid of the ball very quickly, and Alonso was right there. So as an example, the defense knows what it does well.
Right. Where the credit goes, it's tough to pinpoint one area because, again, they have not stopped the run. They have started to produce turnovers, but we don't know whether that's going to be just a spike or a trend for the rest of the season. I just say that they've just started to make some timely plays, and pretty much that's as far as I can take it.
They also lost Rashad Jones. They lost probably their best all-around weapon. They could move him around the field, do a lot of things.
Right.
And how they've recovered from that, I'm kind of confused at how this defense is playing so well.
Well, that's one of the things that I'm not sure what we've seen, what it means. You know what I'm saying? Rashad has missed, three games, right? And so they're still allowing teams to rush for over 100 yards, or they still have. But their run defense is better. They are getting teams into third and long, which plays into the defense's, you know, let's unleash our ferocious pass rush on the quarterback. But I don't know how much of any of this is
for real. They got beat by Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
They should have lost to Cleveland's third-string quarterback,
right,
Cody
right.
Nessler. Okay, yet in this past
Kessler,
month,
yeah.
Kessler, in the
Kessler,
past
yeah.
month, they've beaten Ben Roethlisberger and Phillip Rivers.
Right.
To me, and now the weird thing about this schedule, other than Tom Brady, the remaining games, they don't play a quarterback rated in the top 20 the rest of the way.
Yeah.
So they have a chance. You're saying there's a chance? Yes, they have a chance.
They have a chance.
For the playoffs.
All right, but don't buy into that quarterback thing again, Dave. Don't.
I'm
I mean, come
do
on.
It. I'm
you did
it.
That at the start of last year.
I did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a little theory of mine.
All right, let's go to some questions. This one from Miami Boy Dre. Was this defensive performance legit, or was it just an off day for a Hall of Fame quarterback like Philip Rivers?
I think it was an off day for Philip Rivers. Okay, let's start there.
Right.
He's never thrown four interceptions in a quarter. And some of those, look, you could tell he's down his top two receivers.
Right.
He's not on the same page with the guys he's thrown with.
Right.
So start there. At the same time, I'm not going to take anything from the Dolphins either because they won the game. San Diego's offense was averaging 30 points, fourth highest in the league, 29.8 actually, and they scored six below that. I mean, that you got to give the defense credit for that.
Look, and the defense did limit Melvin Gordon, 19 carries for 70 yards. He came in number three in the NFL, 786 yards. So that's good. And look, the Philip Rivers interceptions, those were also a function of situation and pass rush. So,
you know,
we do have to give credit. And look, they made the plays, too. We've seen guys drop interceptions in the past, Dave. So let's credit these guys. But how real it is, I'm waiting to see.
You're not buying in. You're not buying
the
defense.
Not yet. If they can continue making plays, yes. But as a steady defense, no.
We're seeing the same thing. Cornerbacks haven't had good games until the fourth quarter. They hadn't.
Right.
They were getting torched by Philip Rivers until the fourth quarter. And how do they replace Rashad Jones? And they have so many holes.
Vance
Joseph's doing magic to me.
He is. And the players are doing well, too. Donald Butler and Issa Abdul-Kaddous and Neville Hewitt, Byron Maxwell, Tony Lippett. Players are doing well, but it
now they get a rookie quarterback, Jared Goff.
Yeah. The pass rush is going to eat him up, isn't it? You would think. Here's a question from James Andretti. Is there any cornerback alternative to Bobby McCain for the nickel spot?
If there was, you would have seen him by now.
Well, I mean, you could slide Michael Thomas down there, but now you're taken away from the safety.
Right. Yeah.
What they do now is Bakari Rambo comes in at safety in the nickel package. But Bobby McCain is going to struggle. I'll say this: I think Bobby McCain is a better athlete than he is nickel cornerback right now. So he has to kind of grow into that role. Tony Lippett has to grow into his role. But Bobby McCain, I think, has better potential to make plays than Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is your guy. He's not going to blow it. He's not going to be out of position or miss the tackle for the most part. Bobby McCain is the guy that, he might blow it, but he also might get you a, 80-yard interception return for a touchdown.
All I know is when Philip Rivers came to the line for three quarters, he was finding Bobby McCain or Tony Lippett, and he was throwing at him a lot, and he was successful a lot.
Yeah,
and
Bobby had that PI pass interference in the end zone where he tripped, he slipped and caught the
He had two pass interference. There were seven penalties by the secondary, holding or pass interference, and that's your fear. Now, like I said, the good thing, they only played Tom Brady. As he's the number one rated quarterback, the next highly rated quarterback is number 20, Tyrod Taylor, the rest of the way.
Yeah.
They don't play many passers.
No. Of course, last week San Diego was probably like, if we stop Ajayi, we get to Tannehill. Tannehill has the 130.6 rating.
There are
going to
be some Tannehill questions because I'm sure that this has been a hot topic for the last.
Tannehill's a proven quantity by now, right? we're gonna get to you next, Omar, on one of those questions. Here's one from Javier Sevilla. Who's the player that has improved the most on offense and defense? Was it expected?
Well, the best player on offense to make a leap is Jay Ajayi.
Yes, clearly.
I mean, no question. Look what the Dolphins did at the end of preseason. In training camp, they brought in Arian Foster,
right,
who never played until the final game of preseason. He got a few carries, and then he was made starter. That tells you what they thought of Jay Ajayi.
Right.
They didn't think he was ready, much less to start, much less have this incredible season. So it's clearly Jay Ajayi on offense. On defense
is tough. You can't give it to Cam Wake, even though he did go out with the
comeback player of the year.
Yeah,
but not a surprise.
Right, not a surprise. I might have to go with Andre Branch, maybe.
Same here. He was my pick. Andre Branch would be my pick.
Yeah, and since Mario had been benched or had his playing time reduced, whatever you want to say,
and Jason
Andre
Jones
shot up,
and
Jason Jones
Jason
working
Jones
there too.
Bench. So Branch has a more prominent role, and he's made some impactful plays.
Yeah, yeah. So and now we get this one question from at Omar Kelly. It says, Chris, are you finally going to admit your ridiculous snap count restrictions for Cameron Wake were a mistake? After all, Adam Gase has admitted it was. Heck no. Not a mistake. What, are you kidding me? This guy is 34.
Who's this Omar Kelly guy?
I don't even know. Probably some Californian. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. You had to watch Cam Wake early, right? I mean, nobody knew that Cam Wake was going to be this effective against the run. He hadn't been in the past, but he is one of your best players on defense. If not for Rashad Jones and Ndamukong Suh, he is probably your best player on defense. But I still agree with the snap count. He's on a 40 snap count right now.
I was going to say, from what I've heard, Gase isn't. They're not giving him unlimited snap counts. They still have him on a snap count. It just isn't. It's been stretched out from what it was earlier in the year.
Yeah, this Omar Kelly. He doesn't know what the heck he's
talking
about.
Listen to what Adam Gase says before he misquotes him.
Right, right, exactly. All right, Dave, let's move on here. We're going to get to the L.A. Rams. I almost said St. Louis. The Rams, they're right there hovering around 500. They beat the Jets 9-6 last week. I think that was their third game without a touchdown, right, and that they're 2-1 in such games, which is kind of bizarre. But anyway, we expected a lot out of Jeff Fisher's team, Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, Aaron Donald.
We didn't expect a lot out of Jeff Fisher's team. But he hasn't done anything in 15 years. Well, why would you expect anything out of his team?
Well, that leads to the question, what's wrong with the Rams? So you're saying nothing. They're meeting Jeff Fisher expectations.
This is what Jeff Fisher – look, they have a very good team, but – as Jeff Fisher's teams have, he's never really solved the quarterback position.
Right.
He can build good defenses because that's his strength. They got a good pick in Todd Gurley, which is a franchise running back.
Yep.
But to win in the NFL, you got to go out and get quarterbacks. And right, and they went out, they traded up for Jared Goff, 15-1, yes, very aggressive move. And they took the wrong quarterback.
I know.
They took the wrong quarterback.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And look, they do have some good talent, but Todd Gurley, 515 yards this year, 3.1 per carry.
But why is that? Because I would assume, not studying the Rams, but I would assume defenses are just saying we're gonna let Case Keenum beat us, but Todd Gurley isn't.
Right, right. Everything around him is not good enough. The same with Aaron Donald, who many regard as the best defensive tackle in the game. But what's around him? I mean, a defensive tackle, as Ndamukong Suh could tell you, is not going to change the entire trajectory of a defense. So what's wrong with the Rams? Well, you start with, start with Jeff Fisher, but they don't have much talent.
But
they just don't.
He's the guy getting the talent. So
it does go back to him.
The Dolphins had a chance. Remember the helicopter, Jeff Fisher landing? Fans were so upset he didn't come. And I thought, okay, they would have rolled the dice with Jeff Fisher, but it's no great loss when he wants personnel control.
Right,
so,
exactly.
And you're seeing why out at the Rams.
Right, right. All right, Dave, let's go to some of these questions. This one from Adam Smith. Is this team finally behind Ryan Tannehill? Seems like he's getting more respect than ever from his teammates.
You win four games in
a
row.
Yes.
And winning makes everybody happy. And being in the locker room after the last game in Chargers, it was interesting. Tannehill had finished his press conference, and one by one, Devontae Parker, Brandon Albert, players came by, shook hands with him, talked to him. And you know what? I think Tannehill's gone out of his way. He understood he didn't have the respect of a lot of guys on offense after last year. And he's made a point of trying to get that this year. But what wins respect is the big throws he's making in games.
Right.
Those type of throws all of a sudden will win over any team.
Right, right. And look, You saw I'm trying to get my throws straight, the 39-yard touchdown pass to Kenny Stills,
right,
well thrown, he takes a big hit. 56-yarder to Devontae Parker, well thrown, he takes a big hit. 18-yard touchdown to Damian Williams, just a beautiful touch pass. And just like you're saying, those are the things that get the respect. You make two good passes and take a big hit, and another pass you just put perfectly when Damian Williams has outrun a linebacker, toss it to him, perfect throw, end zone, touchdown. That's what gets respect. The players see that, and it's like, all right, I can roll with this guy.
And for the first time, you're seeing momentum build that Tannehill, there's something there, okay?
Right.
And Adam Gase is getting a lot out of it, and it's going to be interesting the last half of this year. He's comfortable with this offense. He has We're going to see where Brandon Albert is, but he's got a good offensive line in front of him, a good running attack. And finally, he has some help, and we'll see where this goes with him.
We lead right into our next question from Unstoppable JD. Is Brandon Albert's injury going to be an issue going forward?
Short answer, no. I don't think so, because Laremy Tunsil has shown now he likes, you know, he came in as a left tackle.
Right.
He's a franchise left tackle. That's what he was rated as by teams. The Dolphins had him as a second overall pick in the draft, and that's his natural position. So, yes, there'll be a little learning curve as he moves back there, and he's a rookie, but you know he can play left tackle. And I think Adam Gase has most NFL coaches' philosophy, and I hate to say this around the Dolphins because it's been such an awful position for them
years.
But
do
I
it,
think
Dave.
Adam Gase thinks he can put anybody in at guard.
Yes.
And, you know, as long as they are capable NFL players, he'll be fine. That's what I think.
I agree with him. I agree with him on that. Here's how I would answer whether Brandon Albert's injury is going to be an issue going forward. If Brandon Albert is not out there, yes, it will be an issue. If he's out there with a cast and his effectiveness is reduced, you can roll with that. If he's not out there, he's one of your best players, and I can't quantify exactly how it would show itself, but he's one of the best players on the team, clearly one of the best offensive linemen. Brandon and Mike Pouncey are the two most indispensable on the offensive line. I think we would agree on that. The play will drop off. I don't know if it's in sacks, in run game, in a word that I hate, leadership, which I think is totally overrated. I don't know, but you can't just, like, it's like Rashad Jones, right, Dave? You can't just lose your best players and
not show, right?
No,
here's where it's different. I think Rashad Jones, they didn't have anybody to replace him. Okay, they didn't have an impactful defensive player in the back seven.
Right.
Who can do the things he can do. I think, and we're going to see, now Laremy Tunsil's going out there, I think he can do the job at left tackle. And like I said, I think they can find a left guard.
Yeah.
You know, will it go down? Yeah, because you take talent off, it'll go.
Right.
But I don't think that will sink the season. I think they'll be okay.
All right. And as far as we know, Brandon Albert is supposed to see a hand specialist. So, you know, we still don't know his status for Sunday's game at the Rams or beyond that. Dave, this one from Theo G. Which player on the roster becomes a top priority to resign during free agency? Jelani Jenkins, Deion Sims, Kenny Stills, Andre Branch, Chris Culliver, Jason Jones, Jermon Bushrod.
I don't know.
We come up with
any of them as far.
Wait a minute. If we could go a year ahead, it's Jarvis Landry, right?
Well, yeah, but he's not on the list. Right?
Yeah.
The guys on the list, you know, the Andre Branch is an interesting signing. Depending on the money. Of course, we're talking, but he's
right.
in, because you've seen he is productive in this defense.
Right.
And with another year with this team, that would help him. Kenny Stills, you want him back because, again, you've seen he's kind of having a breakthrough year in his Dolphin time. Okay. But the other guys, I mean,
Bushrod. What about Bushrod?
Well, Bushrod, yeah, but again, he will be going to his 11th year. We're not talking. Breaking the bank for Jermon Bushrod. You love him. He's a great guy to have in the locker room. He obviously is the type of guy who can adjust on the line. You know, he's been a tackle, and now he's playing guard. So, yeah, you want him back. But as far as priority signings who are going to cost you a lot of money, I'm not sure there's really anybody this offseason.
That's what I was going to say. It's going to depend on how much money they want, right? You would think Kenny Stills will probably be the most valuable on the open market among all these guys because there's
his age and
he's a deep threat
and
you know, but you know, Jelani and Deion Sims and Chris Culliver, Jason Jones, and like I said, Bushrod.
You got the idea they drafted Carew, they traded up to draft Carew with the idea that they're going to lose Kenny Stills in free agent. I mean, that was my thought when they're making moves like that. So we'll see.
Yeah. Dave, we'll end on this. The people out there who are still bashing Ryan Tannehill, Omar Kelly.
Is he still bashing Omar's
name? No, he's kind of starting to come around, but he's still, you know, Omar has been slow. What would you say to those people? What Ryan Tannehill's role moving forward, the rest of this season needs to be what?
It needs to be what the team needs to do. And you've seen it the last few weeks. When the running game was as strong as it was, he wasn't asked to carry the team.
Right.
All right. But you saw on Sunday, San Diego was playing the run very heavily. Sometimes they had eight. One play, they had 10 guys in the box. Yep. You know, Adam Gase says, very hard defense to read in that regard. Ryan Tannehill read it, and he made – look, he had 240 yards passing. I bet he's had a lot of games where he's had over 200 yards passing that wasn't nearly as impactful as that. Those, a lot of empty yards in games for Ryan Tannehill. Those were – there was meat on the bones in almost all those yards.
Right.
That's what – he needs to read the game in his fifth year and decide, what does the game need out of me this time?
Yeah, I agree. You know, if people want to use that term game manager, whatever – Alex Smith and Andy Dalton have gone to the playoffs that way. You need timely plays out of Tannehill. You don't need him to shoulder the entire load. And then when you have a situation like last week where the run game is kind of stuck, get Tannehill to make some plays for you, get things going again. Look, we talk about the run game and what it does for you. You know, it wasn't the big yardage producer last week that it had been the previous 3 weeks. Having said that, they did rush for 106 yards. Ajayi had a 40-yard run and a 21-yard run that both led to Damian Williams touchdowns. And in between, Tannehill made those timely throws. So you got enough out of the running game, and to top it off, you had Ryan Tannehill in the pass game. I think that's what you need from Tannehill going forward. So that's it for this edition of X's and Omar. Omar and Matt Lincoln will be back next week. That's Dave Hyde. I'm Chris Perkins. You're watching SunSentinel.com.